Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio. Again, 520, Jen Hale from Fox Sports will talk to us about the Saints head coaching search. Also about Super Bowl matchup, 540, Jeff Nowak, our Saints sideline reporter. Also our WWL Sports digital content producer will be live from the Senior Bowl in Mobile. We'll talk to him about what's happening with the Saints coaching search and also players at the Senior Bowl. Charlie, today, even though it is not official yet, but it looks as though LSU has brought in two well-known guys into their coaching staff, one being Lance Guidry. I've known Lance for years. I watched him play at McNeese. He was a defensive back there, later became a head coach at McNeese State. He was a defensive coordinator at Miami of Florida last year, was released from that job, and looks as though they're going to bring him in as one of the defensive analysts. And now his specialty is coaching in the secondary. That's where he's kind of made his bread and butter, coaching in the secondary. So he'll be there most likely to help out with Corey Raymond in coaching the secondary. And Alex Atkins, longtime Florida State offensive line coach, who was released after the season, looks as though he'll be brought in as the tight end coach and running game coordinator, and will be helping out Brad Davis and the offensive line at LSU. So two well-known guys. Lance Guidry knows Louisiana up and down. He's recruited every little inch of Louisiana. Alex Atkins is known, good offensive line coach, but a great recruiter. Got himself in a little bit of trouble with the NCAA a little bit, trying to get one of those Georgia linemen to go to Florida State. But, hey, listen, it's the NIL world, and things happen. But it looks as though both Lance Guidry, Alex Atkins will be joining the coaching staff for the LSU Tigers.
Well, there you go. And as you mentioned, the recruiting aspect of it, right, Mike? I mean, that's the biggest thing here. So we'll keep an eye on it, wait for it to be official. But as you mentioned, it sounds like it's heading that way. And real quick, Mike, before we get to Jen, I wanted to bring this up because our friend Bobby Marks from ESPN, who came on the show a couple weeks back and talked about Brandon Ingram's future with the Pelicans, yep. He made a recent article on ESPN titled NBA Trade Deadline Tiers, Deal Scenarios, Outlooks for All 30 Teams. And one thing that really stood out to me, he has San Antonio making a swing for Brandon Ingram. Now, here's
with all those draft choices, I get that, but you can go into the details.
Yes. So here's what Bobby said. And Bobby came on with us a couple weeks ago
and said
a first round pick would be kind of the price tag for BI, if not maybe a little bit extra on top of that to make salaries work. So Bobby says that San Antonio has 12 first round picks over the next 7 years and the right to swap first round picks in 3 different years. So, and that they also are one of the few teams, because Bobby also mentioned this, that have cap space this summer. There's not a lot of money to go around. And for Brandon, who's looking for, you know, the max contract, he wants the $50 million plus per year, he's not getting it here. San Antonio is apparently one of the teams that could pay him a decent, sizable chunk of that. So, but what Bobby has for this BI trade to San Antonio, he has us moving on from Ingram and Daniel Tice, our backup center. And he has New Orleans receiving, Zach Collins, Keldon Johnson,
very interesting.
Keldon Johnson, a 2027 second round pick via Charlotte and a 2028 second round pick via Denver. So he also adds
first round pick.
No first round pick in that deal. He adds the addition of Ingram would give San Antonio another building block to pair with Wembanyama. The Spurs have the future financial flexibility to sign Ingram to an extension after the trade or in free agency. And more importantly, the trade does not cost San Antonio one of its future first round picks. So Keldon Johnson, very intriguing. 2 second-round picks, less intriguing. If they could somehow swing a first-round pick in that type of deal, I'm running to the table and accepting it. Ingram's not going to be here for the foreseeable future.
One of those two players I like.
Yeah, I agree, too. When I was looking at it, like, I like Keldon Johnson a lot.
Yes.
Zach Collins is more of a meh. Maybe that's kind of Bobby's way of making contracts work and making the trade work.
I would think.
So he'll probably have to get both in return. But if you can somehow get a first instead, it may be a protected first, right? But get a first-round pick instead of those 2 seconds, yeah, I am taking that deal 10 times out of 10. And I think a lot of Pelicans fans would agree with me.
I agree with you there, Charlie. Also, too, want to repeat, Cam Ward, quarterback, Miami of Florida, was announced this afternoon, the winner of the 2024 Manning Award, best quarterback in the country last year. And also, too, I got to send out special congratulations from old buddy Travon Reed, Thibodaux High School, and was one of the greatest athletes, football players I've seen on the Bayou. Played quarterback at Thibodaux, signed with Auburn, ended up, I think at first they put him at wide receiver. He switched over to the secondary, played in the NFL for a number of seasons, actually got signed to a contract, played a couple years with the Seattle Seahawks, and the guy that signed him, Jim Nagy.
There you go.
The executive vice president, executive president of the Reese's Senior Bowl is the one. He was a scout for Seattle at that time. So, congratulations, Travon. He is the new cornerbacks coach for USC. So he goes from the Bayou to Auburn, where he was, an assistant secondary coach. Then he was the secondary coach for UCF last year. Two of his players are at the Senior Bowl in Mobile. So he's developing those players well. Got him a job to L.A.
There you
Los
go.
Los Angeles and USC. So congratulations to Travon Reed. Great guy in this world. And I'm happy for him. And he's on a high trajectory that one day he's going to get a spot more than this cornerback's job at USC. We come back. We have on with us Fox Sports NFL sideline reporter Jen Hale right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTay along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, Fox Sport NFL sideline reporter Jen Hale. Also, you can watch her every Sunday morning. She's on Fox and Friends giving her insights on the weekend games. Jen, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Hi there, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Jen, right off the bat, I'll get you. I don't know how much interaction you've had with Kellen Moore. I'll get your thoughts, because it's seemingly now that one heavy road leading right toward Kellen Moore. And when you take a private plane and go talk to him for almost a full day or 12, 14 hours in a day, that's a long stretch. It would seemingly be pointed in that direction. But the other question I have, you probably know Gail Benson, not probably, you know Gail Benson better than 99% of any other reporters anywhere in the country. She's got to know that this hire's got to hit because of the fact, you know, we live kind of in a big, small town, so to speak, and it means so much to this community. You see the emotions. I know I do. Every Monday, go tank up my truck to go to Mississippi. I can tell the Saints or LSU win or lose just by the reactions to people coming up to me. And either they not in a good mood or they in a really good mood if they win. That has to be a hit here. And understanding the fact, this team right now doesn't have enough talent to win. And coaching does matter, but you got to get talent to win in the NFL, and right now they just don't have it. But your thoughts on, you know, on Gail Benson and trying to get, because I know Mickey Loomis is the guy football wise, but I know who's the owner, who cut the checks. Okay, is Gail Benson? Your thoughts on Gail and having to get this right with this organization?
No doubt, she knows she has to get it right, and she's committed to getting it right. And look, it was. It's her call to fire Dennis Allen. A lot of the Saints brass were against that idea. They thought, hey, this is due to injuries. Look at the first two games of the season when the Saints were on fire. We need to let this team get healthier, give DA more time. She's the one who said absolutely not. And it was after that game against the Denver Broncos where Sean Payton came back, Drew Brees was honored by going into the Saints Hall of Fame, and it was an absolute abject disaster of a game. Thursday night, I believe, because I was able to go to that one, actually. And that's when she had enough. And she said, absolutely, a line in the sand now. So not only is she hyper aware of it, but she's ready to put her reputation on the line and do things. That's why DA's gone and fired. As far as this next coaching candidate, Kellen Moore, first of all, Mike, you look at everybody else that have either withdrawn or already been hired by another team. Kellen's one of the few left out there. What I do like about him is that he very much believes in keeping his offense unpredictable. He's smart. When he looks at how he'll approach his system, he's a big, big self-scouter, and he wants to change his tendencies every few games. I think he's built for the modern NFL. My question would be, does he have the weapons around him here with the Saints? Can he put enough weapons around a Derek Carr, say, with the Saints' salary cap problem? My fear for this team is that they're looking at a couple of lean years as they work their way out of salary cap hell.
Yeah, I agree with you. The other thing, too, if you could hire Kellen Moore, Jen, and I could bring the Eagles' offensive line and Saquon and Jalen Hurts and the receivers.
Hey,
give me the tag. I'm ready to go in.
Sign us up.
Yeah. One of the things with Kellen is he was always known in Dallas as sort of a pass-happy coach. He loved to throw the football, a lot like Sean Payton. When he was in Dallas, he wanted to throw the football a lot. He goes to Philly, and I see that offensive line, and I got Saquon. They became a run-oriented team. He changed his philosophy to fit what was best for the personnel, and it helped lead him to get to Super Bowl Sunday.
Absolutely. That O-line, they are fantastic. Saquon Barkley, over 2,000 yards in the regular season. And then look what he did in the postseason. He got even better. He had over 100 rushing yards in the first postseason game, over 200 in the second. Kellen certainly knows how to build upon a strength. He doesn't have the ego that we see some coordinators come in with, that, hey, this is my scheme. We're going to stay true to what we do. I'm good enough to scheme up anything, any player. Kellen plays to the strengths that his individual team members have at the time. I do think against this Chiefs defense and our old friend Steve Spagnuolo, who used to be a defensive coordinator here with the Saints, I do think they're going to have to pass more. I don't think they can rely as heavily on the run game. They cannot be one-dimensional. And look, I think if there's anything that's going to be the Eagles' undoing, it would be that they have not done a good job of getting the pass game going during the regular season. Little bit better in that game versus the Bills. But still, I think that's going to be the Achilles heel. I think that's probably what's keeping Kellen Moore up at night right now leading into the Super Bowl game.
You brought up Steve the last time I met up with him. He was like, is Jen still living in New Orleans? I was like, yeah, she's still living there. So I said, yeah, she's all over the country. But, yeah, she's still living here in New Orleans. One of the things I saw when the Commanders played the Eagles, the Commanders could not cover Zach Ertz, Jen, at tight end. Man, if I'm Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and I got Travis Kelce, I'm like, wait a minute. They couldn't cover Zach. We gonna pump the football to Travis Kelce in this game because that seemingly was a major mismatch between what the Eagles were trying to do to cover Zach Ertz. And at this stage of his career, I mean, Travis Kelce's going into Pro Football's Hall of Fame. That's nothing against Zach. But Travis Kelce's a better football player. If I were the Eagles defensively, I think I can stop the run. But how I match up covering Kelce would keep me up at night.
There's no doubt about that. And look, he was kind of pedestrian in the regular season, much like a lot of the Chiefs game all across the field. But boy, they know how to flip the switch at the right time, don't they, Mike? They did just enough to win in the regular season, and then it seems like every game in the postseason they've gotten a little bit better. I think this is going to be Travis Kelce's best game of the season. He's been saving up for it. They've been here so many times, they thrive in that spotlight. They're able to find that extra gear instead of being deer in the headlights when those big national lights come on. And this is as big as it gets. You got to think Travis Kelce might be pondering retirement. What a way to go out if he is, with a three-peat, with a asterisk, an exclamation point at the end of his no-doubt Hall of Fame career. Travis Kelce, I am quite sure Andy Reid is having a field day right now, planning, plotting, drawing up all sorts of things for him on Super Bowl Sunday.
Jen, I was telling this to Ryan Roberts in our number one. If Travis Kelce walks, I got the perfect replacement for him. He's in Baton Rouge, Mason Taylor, tight end for LSU.
Yes.
I think he would be a – now, listen, I ain't trying to get nobody better. I want the Saints to get better, but Mason Taylor would seemingly be a great fit for a team like the Chiefs, and he, I think, would maybe be there either at the 31st or 32nd pick.
Well, Mike, nobody knows these draft players better than you do. Year in and year out, you are always spot on with your analysis and your predictions about where they would go. I would love that for Mason. I think that would be a fantastic fit for him and a culture for him. Andy Reid has been one of my favorites for a long time. The culture that Chiefs squad is built in that locker room, that's what leads to championships, right? Yeah, you got to have the skill and you have to have the acumen at coaching, but you also have to have the right culture. And I think for a young player like Mason to go to a place like the Chiefs, it's going to set him for his career and give him those building blocks for a very long, successful NFL career.
Jen, going back to the Super Bowl, Mike and I also talked with Mark Schlereth about this yesterday, where, you know, in the AFC Championship game, the Bills were having success running the ball with James Cook, but they gave him 13 carries in the game. And he averaged 6.5 yards per carry on those 13 carries, 2 touchdowns. But it reminded me a lot of what happened, you know, the year prior in the AFC Championship game, where the Baltimore Ravens went away from their bread and butter, which was the run game. And so, you know, my kind of point in all this is, yes, Travis Kelce may torch up the Eagles' really elite defense, but at the same time, Kellen Moore and the Eagles and that rushing attack with Saquon Barkley, I don't think Saquon's going to have 13 carries in this game. I think it's going to be double that.
It would be over 25. Yeah. Here's my thing. You can't out Mahomes Mahomes.
You can't.
And why these teams are so hard-headed in these games, and listen, I think the world of Joe Brady, but that was a screw-up in the fourth quarter. You got to give James Cook the ball because Kansas City wasn't stopping it. So if I'm Kellen Moore, you're going to get not a teaspoon of Saquon Park. You're going to get a tablespoon, no teaspoon version.
You're getting a cup of them.
Yeah, you're getting big time.
You're going to get a bunch of them, and it just showed that you can stop it because Kansas City, when they were going up against James Cook, they weren't able to stop him. And I think Saquon Barkley, I would expect a huge game from him if the Eagles are going to win this matchup.
And Saquon is, look, no disrespect to James Cook. He's had a fantastic season. He's a wonderful athlete. But Saquon's having the better season right now, obviously. I think he's the better running back. When you listen to him, Charlie, he is so set on proving that they can win a Super Bowl the old-fashioned way, on the ground, pounded out, grounded out. I think he's going to be on fire. I'm with you. It is going to be a huge Saquon day. As I said, I do think you have to have the dual threat of getting the passing game going, but that's not what's going to win it for the Eagles. It would be Saquon in the ground game that would win it for them. You just have to pass enough that you keep that Chiefs defense honest.
Yeah, Jen, last question for you. When I think about the NFL and how it's changed dramatically, and it's a pitch and catch game today, but we saw this year the success of the running backs. They weren't paid this offseason. Man, I think of Derrick Henry, and he didn't get a ton of money to go to Baltimore. Saquon got, you know, it was a nice deal from New York to Philly. But I think if you don't have the right quarterback, okay, you stuck in football purgatory. You're not going anywhere. And great example,
nowhere.
Look in the AFC. Look who you got with Josh Allen. And you got Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. Poor Joe. I mean, if he had any semblance of a defense, the Bengals would have got in there. And you look in the NFC, it isn't maybe as quite as talented quarterback-wise as it is in the AFC, but you got a young Jaden Daniels. And Jalen Hurts, when he's healthy, he is one hell of a football player. That emphasis on the quarterback being the key piece is still there today.
And I don't think it's going anywhere, Mike, especially with the way the NFL is tilting the game, right? They want it to be a pass-happy, star-driven, quarterback-driven league. They're going to keep tweaking rules to keep protecting the quarterbacks more and more. So the importance of that position is just going to keep growing. They know that's where fans gravitate to. In terms of the general fan, of course you have your diehards that love the running backs, love love somebody on the line. But for the most part, it's the quarterback the general fan knows, right? And that's who the NFL is going to keep trying to ride to continue to make money, to continue with these streaming deals that they're chasing with the Amazons, the Netflix. This quarterback phenomena, I think it's just going to grow as we continue to line through future seasons.
I know you haven't given your pick yet, but give it to me. Who you like, Philly, Kansas City? Mm. Come on, don't do it. Don't do it for Fox. Give it to me. Come on now.
I know. I want the Eagles, but I got to go Kansas City. I think they're the more talented team.
You can't bet against Mahomes.
Nope.
Mike and I talk about it all
no,
the time.
No, I tell him, Jen, all the time, he's going to lose his money betting against Mahomes. So,
17-3 in the postseason. Yep.
I don't want to, but that's where I have to go.
Yeah, if you bet 20 times and you win 17, Charlie, you made a pretty good cash.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jen, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All righty. Thank you, Jen. Jen Hale, Fox Sports sideline reporter. Also, you can see her on Fox and Friends on Sunday mornings right before game day. We'll be back. Jeff Nowak will join us from Mobile, Alabama on the Senior Bowl right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTay along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line from Mobile, Alabama, covering the Senior Bowl. Saints sideline reporter and our WWL digital content producer, Jeff Nowak. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us. Before we get a little bit of Senior Bowl, your thoughts, and I think we talked a little bit about this yesterday, when Mike McCarthy didn't have anything scheduled, that sort of set the tone. And the fact that you sent a private jet with the Saints officials to Philly to talk and would it lasted over 12 hours with the interview with Kellen Moore, that sort of signaled you a little bit about where this coaching search was headed.
Yeah, and with Mike in particular, you know, I think if there was an extreme interest on the Saints end to get that interview done, it would have happened. It would have happened a while ago. And I kind of feel like for the Saints, you're really looking for a fresh start with whatever you do. You know, and that's not to say Darren Rizzi can't be on the table, but you're making significant changes. And I just don't think they want it to rest over the level of control. Part of me wonders if, you know, Mike had an experience with Jerry Jones. He did not want to duplicate, and maybe his asks were a little higher than the Saints were going to get. But, you know, it kind of felt like if that interview happened, it was probably going to be higher. And it just did not materialize. So right now you're kind of down to, hey, Mike Kafka, Anthony Weaver, Kellen Moore, Darren Rizzi, take your pick. Doesn't sound like there's going to be any more interviews done. So, you know, I kind of, you know, you look at it now, you read the tea leaves. If there's no hire by the end of this week, kind of feels like it's probably Kellen Moore, right? But yep. You really can't do anything until after the Super Bowl. Because there'd be no incentive if you were landing on a Mike Kafka or a Rizzi or a Weaver to not get it done as early as possible. Because you got a lot of hires you're going to have to get done. You got a lot of decisions you're going to have to make. And not a ton of time to do it. This offseason is going to come fast. So, you know, it's interesting. We've heard Mike Kafka talk a couple times since he's been here. He's an impressive guy. You understand why he's getting a lot of these interviews. I talked to one of his assistants, Angela Baker, who's the tight ends coach today. She had a lot of high praise for him. So we don't want to lose the guy, but he is head coach material. So we'll see how this goes over the rest of the week. But yeah, I think we are coming down toward the end here.
Yeah, no question. Jeff, you got to see a young string bean quarterback from Canada, born in London, England today. Last couple years, he completed 75% of his passes 2 years ago. Last year, 74%. Now, again, level of competition. But we had Jim Nagy on about a month ago, and we were talking about, Jim was like, Mike, I'm trying to get him here to play the Senior Bowl, and I think he can make a lot of bucks here. You got to see it up close and personal.
Yeah, and I mean, I've got a few insights from people who have watched him play. I talked to him today. We're talking about Taylor Elgersman, I think I'm saying his name.
Yes.
Correct. You know, he to say he's raw is about as under the understatement of the century. The kid has never played 11-on-11 football.
Let's How about that?
You know, and in Canada they play 12. You actually have an extra person on the field. You know, like the field's wider, it's longer. The goalpost is at the end line or the goal line, not at the back of the end zone. So I mean, every day he's out here, he's learning. And what I appreciated in talking to him is, you know, he's fully aware of that. He's embracing that challenge. He's confident, but he's not arrogant. You know, he said, I asked him what he wanted people to be saying about him by the time this week is over. And, you know, he wanted people to appreciate the amount that he will have grown from the beginning of the week to the end of the week. And even from day one to day two, you just saw him gaining confidence. You know, I think the speed of the game is something we talked about. It's going to take a little while, right? You know, just where you can throw the ball, where you can't. You know, he had one pass today that he tried to rifle in between two defenders and the linebacker picked it off. It was like, okay, can't do that. Mark it down, move on, improve. But, you know, I would be stunned if a team doesn't look at him and say, we can work with that. We can develop that, whether he's a late-round pick, a UDFA. You know, I look at a guy like Tyson Bagent out of Shepherd who came here, really had no profile, but just kept getting better and better and better. Last time with the Bears, we saw him start games for the Bears as a rookie. He's a quality player. So, no, I've been intrigued by what I saw from him. 6'5", 220. You know, he looks the part, so we'll have to see how that goes.
Armand Mimbo left the Senior Bowl. He was having a stomach virus situation that never got better. But who won today in the trenches from what you got a good look at?
Yeah, man, you know, there's a few guys that stand out. But, you know, the guy we talked about yesterday in Gray Zabel, you know, he's turning himself into a first-round pick. And you know, anyone who thought, like, oh, we're not going to be able to steal this guy's, this North Dakota State guy that nobody knows about, I mean, that's going away quick. And, you know, what makes him so attractive is not only is he doing it, he's doing it at multiple positions. He's doing it against all these big time pass rushers. And, you know, it's just kind of fascinating. And he's only going to get better and better and better. On the defensive side, you know, Mike Green at a Marshall, man,
he can rush the quarterback, brother.
watch him go up against Josh Connerly a couple times today. He just took Josh out of his cleats on one rep. He just ran him off the line. And, you know, this is a guy who's probably a first-round pick in Connerly, who has been dominating. And it just shows you, I mean, a lot of small – the great thing about the Senior Bowl is some of these smaller school guys show up and prove very quickly that, you know, that is not a detriment. They have the ability to play with these guys, and, you know, maybe they're a little more motivated to prove that. I don't know. Another guy, Deion Walker, I've been talking about him for 3 days. Every time I see him out there, he's a behemoth. It doesn't make sense for a guy that big to be able to move the way he does. He's 6'7", 340, and he's just walking. He had a couple plays today that he walked the offensive lineman back in, so far into the backfield that it disrupted a handoff out of the shotgun. Like, that doesn't happen. And so he's another guy that stood out. But it's been a lot of really, really impressive showings. It's impossible to get to them all in a 10-minute window. But, no, there's a lot of really intriguing trench prospects at the Senior Bowl this year.
Jeff, before we let you run real quick, Elijah Arroyo from Miami, the tight end prospect, he had some injury issues early on in his career, but then this past year he kind of broke out, 35 catches, 590 yards, and 7 touchdowns. He measured in 6'4.5", 251 at the Senior Bowl measurements. And, man, as you kind of post on your Twitter page, and I've seen buzz about him all over social media, he's been uncoverable in Mobile.
Yeah, he can run like hell, too.
Dude, I mean, I didn't know much about him coming in. I knew he was a mid-round draft prospect, but every time I see him line up there, it's like the defender has got to be quaking in his boots. Like, he's going to get burned, and he does. I have not seen a single rep where he got stopped. It was maybe a bad throw. I mean, he's creating easy separation, and, you know, route running isn't everything for the tight ends. You know, a guy like Mason Taylor, for example, like, he's a great route runner, needs to improve in his blocking a little bit. But, you know, I asked Xavier Restrepo in there today, you know, I just said Elijah, and he just grinned. He's like, okay, people are starting to learn what this guy can do. And he's impressive. He's going to be a guy that gets talked about a lot during this offseason.
Jeff, my thing is, how the hell did they not get into the top 12?
No defense,
yeah, man. The defense was that sorry?
Yeah, it was bad.
Goodness great. That must have been like an LSU defense of 2 years ago.
I don't understand why Cam Ward had all those stats, though.
Yeah, right. Thank you so much, Jeff. Appreciate it. We'll talk tomorrow, buddy. Thank you.
Sounds good. Y'all have a good one.
All righty, Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter and WWL digital content producer. We come back, we'll finish it off here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870 right after this break. We're finishing up here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 today at 6 o'clock right here on the Big 870 WWL. It'll be LSU men's basketball as the Tigers play Auburn. And then at 6:30 on the Big 870, we'll go to the Pelicans pregame. Pelicans play the Mavs tonight at 7 o'clock. And you can hear LSU men's basketball versus Auburn on 105.3 FM to finish it up. Thanks for listening today. Tomorrow, Pete Jenkins will join us talking about, man, he got to know Andy Reid, coach for him, and Babe Laufenberger, really good friends with Kellen Moore, will talk to us about Kellen Moore right here on the Big 870 WWL.